ABC Radio Australia.
It was on this day, 1 year ago, that Vanuatu's capital, Port Vila, was rocked by a massive 7.3 magnitude earthquake. Let's take a listen to a report from that day.
Devastation in the heart of Port Vila.
Just had a major earthquake in Port Vila. God knows what it was. There's multiple buildings that have come down.
Across the city, buildings were flattened and cars crushed, while people fled for safety as the ground shook. This CCTV from inside a car repair shop showing the violence of the magnitude 7.3 quake.
I was standing by my truck, and it felt like my truck was jumping.
In the chaos, the death toll remains unclear. So far, one person is confirmed dead, but locals fear that figure will rise.
And that death toll did rise to 14, with hundreds injured, and scores of buildings were destroyed in the earthquake. Now, 1 year on, life is returning to normal. Tourists are visiting again, but many demolished buildings are yet to be rebuilt, and some locals are frustrated at the pace of repairs. The ABC's Lily Rose Wellwell in Vanuatu filed this report on the earthquake's anniversary.
Where buildings once stood, there's now open space, caps in the centre of Port Vila. 1 year ago, a powerful earthquake struck the heart of Vanuatu's capital, collapsing buildings. While the rubble has been cleared, the memory still lives on. Yoshua Shing remembers the day clearly.
Standing here, well, one of my brothers died here. It's very sad to come and pass this place all the time to see and to remember that this place used to be one of the places we come every time to eat and just to come and chill. And now we don't have this anymore.
Cyril Menki is a structural engineer and vice president of the Vanuatu Engineers Association. He helped inspect damaged buildings after the earthquake.
You know, we lost 14 lives. Just one life, when you lose it, it's too much. 14 is definitely too much. So my appeal to the whole population of Vanuatu, and especially the authorities, because, you know, our government, they draft the laws, but they need to make sure they enforce it. And we must not have, we must not lose lives again when it comes to earthquakes.
Port Vila's rebuilding is underway. The government has signed various construction, including an $85 million package with China. Also linked is a $24 million grant from the Asian Development Bank for redeveloping damaged roads. On the streets of Port Vila, life is returning to normal. Tourists like Australian Alison Louise Quattrell are back.
Came by boat, so on the cruise ship. I think it's really beautiful here. I love the beaches. It was really nice. We went to the Blue Lagoon area. It was very beautiful there. Yeah. Well, this is our first time coming here. We did hear about the earthquake.
Tourists are an important part of Vanuatu's economy. And the good news is government is forecasting at least one cruise ship visit per day for the next 4 months. It's welcome news. Ruth Fari, a market vendor.
After the earthquake, our sales are recovering slowly.
She's upbeat as she sells soaps, creams and beauty products under a tent where a building once stood.
The rebuild of Vanuatu is getting there, but it is slow.
Joshua Shing is a musician who performs in hotels and venues around the capital and is welcoming visitors back with open arms.
Past 6 months, tourists are coming back and the resorts are opening, hotels are opening again. And for us as musicians, I perform at the resorts and hotels, and I'm back on my feet again. I can stand. But so far, so good. So happy to have tourists back in Port Vila City. And, yes, looking forward to seeing more tourists come back.
But recovery has not been even. Large parts of the city centre remain quieter than before, with many businesses still operating from temporary locations outside the city. Port Vila business owner Lopez Adams says progress feels slow.
Unfortunately, Port Vila CBD is not very lively. We need to bring back some life into the centre of the city. We need activities, we need entertainment, we need things that can anchor our tourists. So when they go back, they can tell their friends that, oh yeah, Port Vila is ready to receive you.
Mr. Adams runs a cafe and an employment incubator for young people. He says government can encourage growth by relaxing restrictions.
So we're not asking for financial assistance from our government. We are asking our government to relax all the rules that makes it very difficult for business to operate, for business, new business to come in, for investors to come in.
Port Vila residents are today reflecting on the devastation of last year's earthquake, but they're also calling on the government to look to the future and plan the city's growth.
Well, for more on our coverage of Vanuatu's earthquake anniversary, we cross now to our reporter in Port Vila, Lily Rose Wellwell. Good morning, Lily Rose.
Good morning, Aki.
Thank you so much for joining us. As we've been speaking, today marks, you know, 1 year since the earthquake, and I know it's a very emotional time for the people of your country. You know, no doubt lots of memories from last year's disaster. Lily Rose, how is the anniversary being marked today?
So today is being observed primarily as a memorial day, but it also carries a broader meaning. It's a day to remember those who lost their lives and at the same time to recognize the efforts of people who responded in the immediate aftermath, like medical teams, engineers, emergency services, and security forces. So the mood across Port Vila is subdued, active, but it's also a strong sense of gratitude along with the grief.
Lily Rose, can you sort of take us through the government program for today, though?
The government has the government has organized a full day of remembrance activities that combine official observance with community-led events. The program includes a public procession through the city, a formal ceremony with prayers and speeches, family testimonies, exhibitions documenting the earthquake. It also provides space to acknowledge frontline responses before concluding in the day with a faith-based service and candlelight commemorations.
And I understand the march will actually end up at the Billabong building. Lily Rose, what's the significance of this site?
Well, the Billabong building is the most significant site associated with the earthquake. It's where most of the lives were lost when the building collapsed. It's also a place where emergency responders, medical teams, engineers, and security forces had to work under extremely difficult conditions to recover survivors and recover victims, to rescue survivors and recover victims. So ending that march there recognizes both the human loss and the efforts of those who responded in the hours and days that followed.
And also, could you tell us about the monument, which I believe is going to be unveiled today, right?
Yeah, so the monument is basically in commemoration of those who have lost lives and in that building. So, you know, there's around 14 people that that lost their lives during the earthquake. So the monument is to be placed there in the commemoration of that of the lives that were lost, but also for the businesses and people who have lost their jobs just the damage to the Port Vila city when the earthquake happened last year.
Lily Rose, I'd love to sort of hear what it's like where you are right now. Could you describe what's happening? I mean, are there people already gathering for today's march?
People are slowly gathering, some with flowers and, you know, standing and talking slowly. The program will obviously begin at around 10 o'clock, but there will be a rally that will be starting from the Kape area up to the main CBD. So the atmosphere is calm, respectful, reflecting both the remembrance and appreciation of the day.
Earlier in the piece, you know, your radio story, at the start of the show, I know you talked about space, right? Like the gaps in the city centre. I'm wondering, are there other reminders of the earthquake's damage, though?
There are clearly reminders. There's a lot of reminders around town. Beyond the empty lots, there are buildings that never reopen, temporary fencing in parts of the city, and businesses that continue to operate from relocated sites. So there are also less reminders. People remain cautious, in especially multi-story buildings, even a year later.
And that's it. It's only been a year, Lily Rose, but if you were to take us back, what were you actually doing this time last year when the earthquake struck?
So I was actually in the Lolam building, where now it's an empty plot. It has been demolished, with a group of journalists attending a workshop, because we were preparing for the election that same month.
That's right.
The following month. So there were, like, we were on top of the floor preparing for the upcoming elections when the earthquake struck, and the building shook violently, and we evacuated after the earthquake ended. It's a moment that remains very clear. We saw a lot of things happening. Mm. There's someone who broke his leg and all that. So this, we were at the center of it all. I was at the center of it all when it happened.
Grateful that you're still here with us, Lily Rose. I mean, goodness, it's, you know, 1 year on, and I can only understand the trauma from last year probably still in your mind and in the minds of many people, right?
Yes, even people who are in the offices when the earthquake happened, they had to run outside. There were some ladies that we spoke to who said they had to relocate because their customers are scared to come upstairs to go to buy their goods. So life has continued, but the trauma hasn't disappeared. For families who lost their loved ones, and for those who were involved in the rescue and recovery efforts, the memory still lives on. So there's resilience and rebuilding, but there's also a lasting awareness of vulnerability, and that's why today it's both a day of remembrance and a day of thanks.
Absolutely. And look, all the best for you and all of those in Port Vila this morning, gathering 1 year after that earthquake. So, Lily Rose, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Aki.
That is ABC reporter in Vanuatu, Lily Rose Wellwell. And yes, we just heard from her, but now we cross to Vanuatu-based journalist Dan McGarry, who was there on that fateful day. With that, though, I say welcome, Dan, to Pacific Beat.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Dan, firstly, take us back, you know, a year ago. Where were you and what was happening around you?
Well, I was working at home with my daughters, and, you know, every time there's an earthquake, and there are frequent earthquakes here in Vanuatu, we all have this moment where we pause and, you know, try to get the measure of it. But the moment this one hit, we all knew that this was unprecedented, you know, that this was something that we'd never experienced before. And so I yelled to the girls to get out. And as we were making our way down the hall, the main shock hit and literally just threw us against the wall. Mm. So one of them was hanging off my shirt as we sort of maneuvered our way outside.
Wow.
I think at that moment, we didn't really have a sense of just how bad it had been. The weird thing about earthquakes is that they are over, you know, they seem to last an eternity, but they're over in seconds. And, you know, you live with the impact of it for, you know, a very long time afterwards.
And was there any sort of immediate damage, though, to where you were at home?
Well, I'm lucky enough to live in a very, very well-built house. So we had a lot of things sort of thrown about. Our TV got thrown on the floor and was totaled. And there were a few things like this. But the damage in our home relative to what happened in the center of town is, you know, it's not really comparable. So we were very, very fortunate.
Thank goodness. Yes. And Dan, look, we know that Port Vila was directly affected by the 7.3 earthquake. I mean, how much do you remember of it, you know, that whole day, and what does it even look like now a year on?
Yeah, it is a fairly vivid memory, as you can imagine. These things do tend to stamp themselves on your brain. And just in preparation for this conversation, I was going back through some of my old tweets and you know, the news that was coming out at that moment. I think within an hour or so, we had a sense that this was, you know, an historical event in the sense that, you know, the scope of the impact on the town. We knew that buildings were destroyed. We knew that the wharf road was severely damaged, and we knew that there had been fatalities. I went down to Villa Central Hospital, that's our main hospital, about 25 minutes after the quake struck, and it was really remarkable to watch how quickly the recovery efforts swung into play. Mm. There was already a triage center set up outside the hospital. Casualties were arriving, you know, even as we spoke. I saw three seriously injured people waiting treatment. But what impressed me and what always impresses me in response to disasters here in Vanuatu is just how everybody pulled together. There was no panic. There was no screaming, no yelling, no running around. People were focused on helping those who needed help. And that really is the one indelible memory that will stay with me for as long as I live. Mm. It's really remarkable. You know, people, if you watch disaster movies, you know, the moment things start to break down, that's when, you know, society breaks. But that's not what happens. Here in Vanuatu, it is remarkable at how tightly knit society becomes, you know, as tightly knit as we were before, we're even more tightly bound together in times of adversity. And this has been a level of adversity that we haven't seen in many, many years.
Yeah, which is really encouraging to hear, Dan. And, you know, one of the many visuals we saw was that of that Billabong store, you know, completely pancaked. And you talk about recovery efforts sort of just coming in straight away. I mean, but how has it been so far in the, the reconstruction of Port Vila and how the community is feeling since then?
You know, some of the unsung heroes of the recovery effort are a small group of public servants who set up an operations center in tents in front of the Prime Minister's office. And for weeks, they were trying to manage the risk and trying to speed the recovery through this whole, through the center of town. Now, you have to bear in mind that all of our banks, all of our major infrastructure, our power generation, a very, very significant amount of our key infrastructure, communications as well, were all running right through that part of town that was most affected. And, this is a hot season. It was, you know, 34, 35 every day, almost 40 under the tents. And these people were working dawn to dusk, you know, round the clock, to try and get everything done. It was a really commendable effort. It's taken a great deal of time for things to even just get cleaned up. And now, as I'm sure Lily Rose told you already, you know, the center of town looks like a fighter with some teeth knocked out, you know, like there are gaps there. And all of us who have lived in Port Vila for, you know, for decades, we see the gaps, you know, like we see what's missing. And I think that still continues to exact an emotional toll.
Mm. Well, Dan, the whole thing about, you know, trade and tourism, right, that would have been affected greatly after the earthquake. But I understand that ADB, our Australian Development Bank, they've actually approved a $24.4 million grant to sort of rehabilitate Port Vila's Wharf Road. I mean, it sounds like a lot of money. Is that enough to sort of see, you know, even with the ongoing issues that are happening there in Port Vila?
Quite frankly, that sounds like the right amount for, you know, it's a substantial amount for a country as small as ours. But the damage to the road was substantial, and safeguarding that critical part of our national infrastructure, you know, against further damage by cyclones or earthquakes or what have you, is a non-trivial task, as the engineers sometimes say. The scope of the damage there, that was the very first thing that I was able to report on. I managed to get a drone up from my house and to fly it over the wharf road. Mm. There just an entire hillside came down there. There were pieces of, you know, there were stones as big as a house that had rolled down onto the, you know, into the wharf area. The fact that we've managed to keep it working at all is remarkable. And it doesn't surprise me, frankly, that it's taken a year for us to even begin to you know, get going on that that part of the recovery effort. This is, you know, 20 seconds, that's going to live with us for a very long time still.
And I have to talk about that, Dan, because, you know, most importantly, we understand the trauma, the impacts it's had on the young and the old there in Vanuatu when a traumatic event like this happens. So really, frankly, how are you doing and how has the family been since then?
Well, you know, as I say, people in Vanuatu are accustomed to disaster. That doesn't mean it's easy on us. It just means that we're used to it. And so, you know, people know what to do. They respond in a very healthy and supportive way. The fact is that now, whenever we feel even a minor earthquake, people react, you know, very, very differently than they did before. There's that apprehension that never really went away, you know, that this could happen to us again. There is an awareness as we, you know, go about our business that something has changed quite fundamentally in, you know, that the Port Vila is never going to be the Port Vila that we knew. Mm. And that exacts a real toll. And then, of course, on top of that, in a tightly knit community like ours, losing 14 people and having hundreds injured is a massive toll when you compare that to the size of our population. There is nobody who was not personally affected by, you know, damage or human tragedy. And it's on days like this when we commemorate the loss that I think people understand just how important it is, you know, to care for our loved ones and to support them, you know, through thick and thin.
And yeah, talking about that, Dan, of course, today is somewhat a Memorial Day. As Lily Rose reported, people are going to be there in the city centre. Are you going to be joining the anniversary today, or how are you going to be remembering what happened there in Port Vila?
I have the unfortunate task of I've got a work day, so I won't be able to get away until this evening. There will be a candlelight ceremony later, and I'm pretty sure that we'll all be there for it. Our family is planning on attending. In fact, my wife gave me a long look when I told her I wouldn't be able to make it this morning. Mm. So, you know, people are taking it quite seriously. It is, as I say, a major moment in the lifetimes of people who, frankly, have seen disaster before. You know, in the last 10 years or so, we've been through three major cyclones in the capital alone, and in the islands there were more. There were a couple of others, you know, that were category 4 or 5. So this is one in a long series of disasters, but it is one that has changed the landscape in a really fundamental way.